On 98.5, the Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the other.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash Lift Shacks.
Oh! 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and it is time. 7-something a.m. on a Thursday. It's time to put your bets down and to talk to the Bankroll Boys. Dan Lifshitz and Joe Murray. Joe Murray, right off the wedding and honeymoon. Joe Murray, any gambling during the honeymoon?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I went to the Bahamar Casino in the Bahamas. They had a nice sports book there. So went there, went to the casino. It was very fun.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to have one here locally. But there were TVs everywhere. It was awesome. So I had a lot of fun.
All right, Dan Lifshitz, you had over-unders on the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we did.
Now, have you figured out what hit and what didn't?
I've not yet, so I'll pull those up. But I do know that Sarge cashed his bet.
Oh, he cashed his bet. What was the Sarge bet?
Sarge bet was the over-under half a number. That was the first thing I asked.
And?
That was a nice easy win for Sarge.
Oh, so we got a number?
Well, we went to the Kowloon after.
No,
hang on. After your wedding, you went to the Kowloon?
Oh, of course.
Classic.
We were 2 miles away.
It's classic. God.
Was Andy Wong like, here, my place is yours?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, listen, that's the kind of guy he is.
So if Sarge goes to Kowloon, it's basically a done deal?
I believe it was no charge from the Sarge is his line.
Oh, Jesus God.
He actually said that?
No charge from the Sarge.
Okay.
I've heard that line a couple of times.
So that's what he says to girls?
No, just when we were there. Hey, what do you want? What are you drinking?
Yeah,
what
the world is your spring roll.
And he asked everybody for a kiss on the cheek.
Oh, my God.
Like my mom. Hey, can I give you a kiss on the cheek? I'm like, dude, that's my mom.
So, like, yeah. how many people went?
It was probably like 40 people or so at the Kowloon.
Oh, my God.
That's a party, bro.
Well, give it to Sarge. I mean, if he made that happen and hooked it up. Yeah, that doesn't suck.
I believe he may have had a companion late in the night.
Okay.
Really? Was Jimmy Stewart there?
He was not there, no.
All right.
I believe Sarge has a steady, if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly.
I'm not sure about that one.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I don't want to blow up any spot. We are going to WrestleMania together. I talked to him yesterday, but I haven't heard anything about a steady.
He's a rambling man?
Really?
You know what I'm
saying? I heard differently.
He's got a bottom girl, you know, that holds it down. And
right,
then,
right.
And
then, a fallback option, if you will.
There's a term in the pimp game for what it is. Right. Not comfortable saying on the air, but, you know, it's your bottom, you know. And it's the woman that you care the most about, but you have to have a stable. I mean,
it's
your favorite one in the stable.
I got it.
Is what
he's got a farm system going, Fred. Is that what you're saying?
You got the one you kiss on the lips, and you can take out to dinner, and you treat them right, and then you know you got a stable of girls that are you get them a cab.
Spot
before.
Starter. I got you.
No, you get them a cab when it's over.
Right. Right.
The bottom one gets to sleep in bed with you.
Right.
I mean, that's the way it is with Sarge. Now, how'd you do when you were gambling out there, Murray? Were you just overcome with love? Or?
Actually crushed it. Saturday, left the Bahamas, went to Miami because there was no direct flight. Went 4-0 on Saturday in college football. I also watched Bohemian Rhapsody in between.
Oh, yeah?
Airports should have a movie theater. Don't you think so?
Without a doubt. If you're going to sit there, you're all right.
So I ended up going to, I saw it in between, and I'm like checking my phone during the movie, which is something you shouldn't do. But we crushed it on Saturday. And I know it's a bankroll, so sometimes on Sundays when we make these picks, we're already up for the week. We're trying to just cash out. But I think we went 7-0 on Saturday in college football.
I put 100. I was talking to Dan last week, and I put 100 on the under for the 20-point spread on the BC game, and I pushed. So, it was right there.
The BC quarterback got hurt though, so you had a good shot.
Well, I mean, the beginning of the game, you know, they were up 7-3 at the end. I'm like, woo, here we go! And then, of course, you know,
but you bet the under, or did you bet on BC?
I bet the under. I bet the spread.
Well, hold on,
spread.
Dan, you tweeted me and said so much money came in on BC late, the line went from 20 to 18.
But I had it at 20.
So Clemson did cover.
I closed it at
20. Well, yeah, I mean, they covered the closing line, but original open at 16.5 was bet up to 20 real quick, and then it went back down, and the sharps came back on
Sharps.
Always screw up.
Yes, the sharps.
What does that mean? Please define that for me.
John, you're not listening to John.
I'm sorry, it's my mistake.
He locked the line in early at 20.
Yeah, I did. Don't be a square. You can be a sharp.
I apologize.
Those are the guys who bet a lot of money who are influential to books. So books, when they take their money and they take their bets, see their bets and say, okay, this, you know, these guys are long term winners, consistent winners, and these guys know what they're doing.
Those are the sharps.
So the sharp bets.
All right. Well, speaking of big ass spreads and over unders and things like that, this Kansas City Chiefs Rams game has an over under of 63, which I think is one of the biggest spreads in NFL history. So, or biggest over unders in NFL history. What do you think about that? Are you staying away from that, or when you see a number that high, do you say, well, you got to take the under?
In Mexico, it was going to be probably one of my biggest plays of the year. I was going to hit the under.
Okay.
High altitude, just one of those places that there's not that many points there. I was so stoked for that game to be in Mexico because I was going to slam the under. And now I really don't know. You have to reevaluate everything because it's not in Mexico. Now it's in LA. So, I mean, it's a total different game, a totally different game now. Kind of like the over now. I mean, to be honest with you.
On 63.
Yeah, I mean, those two teams are terrible on defense, not high altitude. Both those teams have been training for high altitude, meaning that they're going to have a little extra this week. To me, that's kind of an over spot. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to play it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I would lean that way, but I'm not going to play it.
Normally in these situations, I take the under just because it's so high here, but the Rams have given up a ton of rushing yards just the last couple of weeks, over 200 last week to Seattle.
Yeah.
So I feel like this could be a Kareem Hunt game, get Mahomes a little bit of play action here. I lean Kansas City in this one, even though their only loss of the season is on the road to the Patriots. So, you know,
but this isn't really a road game, though. I mean, you take a look at that.
It's in L.A., right?
It's in L.A., but as far as the fans are concerned, I think, if I'm not mistaken, even the Rams, as good as they are, still, it's not. Who did they play recently where it looked like it was a – was it the Seahawks they played at Rams? Or what team was it where it looked like
– Green Bay.
Yeah. They're not packing out the stadium with their own fans. It's not an advantage as far as the noise
LA.
Is concerned.
It's L.A. That's kind of sports town they are.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely. So, all right. Well, what is your lock this week? What's the lock?
So there's a couple of things just to bring up quickly. Tonight's the Thursday night game. It's Packers at Seattle.
I'm looking forward to that game.
Seattle's played very well.
They have.
But besides a fumble from last week and giving up 16 points against the Rams in the fourth quarter, like, I don't know. A lot of love's going to come in tonight on the Packers at 2.5. I'm a little
square play.
I'm a little torn on that. There you go. It is a square play for tonight.
Right. Oh yeah.
I'm torn on that game. And just another game to bring up, the Saints have been outstanding. They play the Super Bowl champion Eagles coming off a loss. Saints are 7-0 against the spread since week 3. They've covered games by 7.5, 11.5, 18.
Jeez.
So they won by 31 last week. So they're an 8-point favorite this week. I kind of like the Saints in that one, but for a lock for me, I like teams coming off a bye, and one of the teams I'm fading now is Washington. I like the Texans to cover and win this week. They're -3. They're on the road at Washington. Washington's beat up. Josh Norman's already talking trash about the home crowd and how they get no love there. Yeah. So, and the Texans, if they continue to win, they might get the bye over the Patriots. So I like the Texans this week. And another, I like the Steelers to crush the Jaguars. I took the Jags last week. They choked it later, but remember the Steelers got smoked by them earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers are starting to play better. I think they knock out the Jaguars.
I think the Jags are going to destroy that team. Roethlisberger is always terrible against them. Always. Every single year. He hasn't had a good game against them in like 4 years.
But just look at how the two teams have played as of late.
It's a week by week league. So you have to throw, I mean, You can put some consideration in that, but when you're looking at spots and how these, you know, how the quarterback consistently plays against a team and has consistently struggled 3-4 years in a row, eventually you have to start picking up the trend that maybe they don't do well or something.
All right. Don't be square, Rich.
So over under on joints you smoked during your honeymoon.
So there was somebody trying to sell Cuban cigars. I got there, went to the pool, and this guy, hey, want some Cubans? What else you got? Came over with a pipe and a lighter and all that. And
kaboom.
It was good to go. like over under like 8.5 hours.
All right.
Like under.
So Rich says he wants to experiment with marijuana. He has not in his life. He's waiting for it to be legal. But then he's going to go edibles off the bat, which I say bad move.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard that too.
Yeah, it's like
you hadn't heard
man.
That until I said it.
So what are you talking about? I told you I had a friend, actually a family member who lives in Colorado, and they say you take it and you don't think it's working for like, continue to eat more.
You were insisting in meetings that you were going to take edibles. That's the way you wanted to do it.
That's right. And I still think I do want, I just don't want to smoke a joint. Like, because it smells awful.
Have you ever vaped before?
I don't know. I might use the oil pen, but vaping, every person I've seen like do a vape is douchey.
He doesn't understand the idea of vaping.
I understand the idea of vaping.
No.
It's
really
better. You don't smell. You can hit it whenever you want. You can do it wherever. You can do it in the studio while you're doing the show.
That's true.
Have you done that before?
I have never.
Wink, wink.
He hasn't done it in the studio, but he's done it out. All right. Rich has his bankroll.
Yeah, but we've got $760 built up.
All right. What does he let it all ride on this week?
I don't know, Dan.
You guys are such pussies. Like, just tell him a game to bet on.
Okay. I like the Lions this week. I like the Lions.
I like the Lions, too.
Carolina on the road versus the Lions. I think the Lions got, ruined last week by a divisional opponent. They need to bounce back to kind of stay in that division this week. Lions +4 for me is probably the bet that I'm going to be rolling with this week pretty big.
I like the Texans, as I said earlier, off a bye against that Washington team. If they continue to win, they get the bye over the Patriots to go to the playoffs, so I like Houston on the road.
You almost had me at the Saints -8 hosting the Eagles. Like, that one almost seems like the one that would be the surefire bet.
I wouldn't touch
eight,
that.
Though. It's 8. What happens if they win by 7? You know what I mean?
If the Eagles show up, that's going to be a good
by
game.
By the point, if you want.
Right, but so, consensus.
I will think about it. I will let you know.
Just let us know.
I will let you know.
No, let's make the decision now.
No, I got to think about this. This is something I need to think about.
Are you going to let it all ride this week?
If I decide one of these games is good enough. The past couple weeks, I haven't thought. And
money,
you guys have not been confident about anything.
Now, Fred, where there's a lot of hesitation by all parties involved.
It's all bankroll.
It's because the college games are way easier to pick right now. Yep. We went 7-1 last week. We went 8-0 the week before. They're just easier to pick right now.
All right. Well, I say Thanksgiving gives you something to do.
You see the lines? The lines are out. Chicago at Detroit, 3.5. Washington at Dallas. Dallas is giving 5 to Washington, and New Orleans is giving 11 to Atlanta.
Take New Orleans. Take New Orleans. Go ahead, Rich. Let it ride. Take New Orleans.
Well, then you got to wait till Thanksgiving. I want some Sunday stuff.
Well, you said you needed time to think.
Well, I do need time to think.
So here we go.
Why, you like Detroit over Chicago?
Yep. Wow. Thanksgiving at home.
Detroit.
Trubisky's kind of playing all right.
Can they block anybody? How many times is Stafford going to get sacked?
I don't know.
The over-under on that one.
They've lost T.J. Lang, too, so I don't know. All right, you guys, can you come in on Wednesday?
Sure.
All right, there you go. You're going to have an early gift.
# no charge for the Sarge is now trending.
Well, speaking of Sarge, people are wondering how all these phone calls got going. Now, Rich, have you heard the original Sarge day?
I think I have. I think you've played it for me.
Okay. Okay, so we'll play you July 6th, where all the Sarge stuff started. Put it in context.
And if you did not hear the one that Joe from Vegas made to Hannity. John from Vegas made to Hannity, the Hannity show, in its entirety. Because we didn't play it to the very end of the show last night. Yesterday. It was like 9:45. It's a mastercraft. Incredible. It's incredible.
All right. So we will have all that for you coming right up.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And people are wondering what's going on with these calls that are saying Sarge sucks. So let's start with the best one that has happened yet. John from Vegas has kind of taken the ball and ran with it. And he was able to call the Sean Hannity show.
So the way it was set up was very strange because, you know, he'd gotten through to Francesa. He'd gotten through to Paul Feinbaum and a bunch of other people. But with this one, when he called Sean Hannity, they put him on hold. And then when they couldn't get to him, they said, you know, we like your story so much that we want to get your number and call you back tomorrow. So sure enough, John from Vegas' phone rings again, and he gets a call from, and it's Sean Hannity's producer. They put him on hold, and take it away, John.
John is in Vegas, KDON Radio. What's up, John? How are you? Hi, Sean, or Mr. Hannity.
Yes,
very
sir.
Very excited to talk to you. I know there's a lot of important stuff going on in the country, so I'm going to try to be quick. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
But I was not as big of a fan as my great-grandfather was.
Wow.
He passed away last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's painful.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't think I'd get emotional. But, okay, so he was a World War II vet, and he listened to your show pretty much every single day.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, his name, he was Sergeant Mike Riley of the United States Army.
Yes, sir.
Everyone just knew him as Sarge. That's what I called him. He loved the show. He was always afraid to call in. He was worried he'd be terrible on the radio.
He
probably would have stumbled and been awkward. He was not cut out for radio. But anyways,
Let me tell you about these guys. Brokaw once referred to it as the greatest generation. I mean, they were the greatest generation.
And I appreciate that, and I will just leave it with this. I'd like to give you the highest honor he could bestow upon any of his great-grandkids or friends or anything. I want to give you an honorable Sarge salute. Thank you, Mr. Hannity. Thank you for everything you do. You are a real American.
I'm humbled, and I am honored. Thank you.
I mean, that's just
unbelievable.
Time for the Sarge salute of the day. It's time for
the setup is poetry. It was salute of the day. It's all good. On top of that, the way he got through to the way he got through to Feinbaum to talk about BC football.
Don't step on this song. It's all good, baby.
Sarge.
All right, so people say, how did this all start? Well, I had to be here over the 4th of July week because my son was playing in Williamsport baseball. And John and Rich were gone, but Sarge was here. And people go, oh, yeah, you're ripping off Stern. And I realize there's a similarity between Captain Jenks and what's going on with over here with the John from Vegas and our listeners. But it did come from an organic place. So, I'm in here with, what's his face from the night?
Adam Jones.
With Adam Jones. And Sarge is doing headlines. And here is how everything started on July 6th, 2018. Brandon, go ahead.
So the only time I don't listen to the show is when you and Rich are both on vacation, so I've made it a point to listen to this week, but Sarge, you were just making it so hard to listen to this show. Why would you have to bring up that they're eating the buns, too? And then the comment of, oh, well, Andy Wong doesn't have a daughter. You work in radio, man. Like, you suck at your job.
I'm just not going to retaliate. This kid's just angry with his life, and he just, he's angry at me. So,
dude, you know what? Why don't you shut up, okay? You're taking shots at me because I'm saying how I felt, okay? I was making a comment, all right? You're angry that you can't be in this position, okay? And you're jealous of that, and you're taking it out on me. So take a walk and hang up on him now, Fred, because I'm doing a mic drop. I'm out of here.
Hey, Fred, I know you're going to hang up on me.
No, I'm not going to hang up on you.
I just had to get that out. But no, thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Sarge, you handle criticism so well.
Oh, I just felt like saying that. I don't know. I like this kid, though. He's cool. I just had to turn heel for a second.
Okay. Sarge,
no salute for that guy.
No, that's a dishonorable discharge.
Radio was very hard, and I could never do it.
Dude, I don't care, man. It's all good. I appreciate the call, though. Thank you for listening.
He just complimented you.
I know. I appreciate the call. Thank you. I appreciate that. You're a good man.
Brandon, I don't know what to tell you. He's very mean.
Oh, yeah. You've turned me heel.
Sarge, all I would say...
I like you, man. I like you.
Try to read the room a little better.
You got it, buddy. You got it. Thanks for the advice. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Fred, I absolutely love the show, but you'd make it hard to listen.
Okay, buddy. I made one comment, okay? That's fine. But thank you for listening. That's very nice of you.
Just that mild criticism.
It's very nice of you to listen.
It's very nice.
When Hardy was on, there was about three times that you just made me cry.
Yeah, and that's really nice of you to listen. You're helping the ratings. You're doing a good thing for us here, so thank you. We appreciate that.
I do, yes.
We do appreciate that.
Very much about the ratings.
So thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. No, that's really nice of you.
I'll tell you what, Sarge, you're a good sport.
I just had to get that off my chest. He's fine.
Okay. All right. Rick, your comments.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
This isn't Rick. This is Dick.
Oh, okay, Dick. Hey.
Sarge, I'm going to give you a big Sarge salute. I think you're doing great.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it, man.
But I don't really like you that much.
No problem. Well, I appreciate that, man.
Thanks.
Your hat.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Danny, you're a fan of Sarge.
Yeah, hi. This is actually Daddy, D-A-D-D-Y.
Oh.
Anyway, I think Sarge should teabag a mouse trap. He sucks.
Thanks, buddy. That's great. Boy, we got comedians looking for work around the world, and this guy's stealing their job.
You just react so poorly to this.
It's funny.
Yeah, because you go out of your mind. John, go ahead.
Sarge, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Hopefully not what you're doing.
No dreams, no goals. You just said, I'm going to float in the breeze and see what comes along?
No.
Sarge, you're a terrible human being. You're just the worst.
Takes one to know one.
You make me miss John Wallach.
How much did it cost you to make this phone call from prison? You sound like you're in there, dude. You sound like you're one of them.
They
right?
get one a day.
You sound like you're negative. It's probably your only phone call of the day. Yeah.
Oh,
all right, man.
Sarge.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
It only because it makes you so mad, Sarge. That's the only reason people are calling.
It's funny, dude. It's radio. It's a day after the 4th of July. Fred said, have fun. That's what we're doing.
I would never call if I didn't know it would
happen. Hey, I mean, you're wasting your time by calling. He's wasting his time by calling.
I don't know if he's wasting his time. He's probably driving.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know what? For someone to actually waste their time to call.
How is it a waste of time to call? Well, that's a nice message to send.
To call or tweet me and to say that, they're just wasting their time.
What a waste of time to listen to the show.
For someone to call and rip me.
You got a little time to waste, 617-779.
No, you're not getting the point. To rip me for that, to actually have that time to do that.
Sarge, you lose your mind. You can't figure out why people think it's funny.
I think it's funny.
I'm putting a dent in your psyche, Sarge. I'm putting a massive dent in your psyche, and it's taking me like 5 minutes out of my day. That's a great efficiency.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Good man.
All right. These calls will come in all day.
Yeah.
You have to relax, dude.
I know. It's funny.
No, it is funny, but it's funny. Like, it's not a funny way that you want to be.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. So that is how the Sarge calls started. The origin of the Sarge. And that happened. Say that I took the first call at 7:20. That went on until 10 o'clock. And under the guise of saying other things. So if you ever question how it went from that to John in Vegas,
there's more, isn't there? Is there more?
I mean, I could have played the whole show for you.
Okay,
that is a pretty good.
Just saying,
that's a pretty good encapsulation of what went on that day.
Oh man!
I mean, he lost his mind. Yeah, buddy, I have that stuff. That's your only call from jail.
I was just going to say, he told the guy who's calling from prison and who's his one phone call?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was very funny. I tried to get him to stop. So anyone who blames me for the Sarge thing, that's how it started. I tried. The best way is, Fred, hang up on this guy. I dropped
mic. Drop. Boom.
Nope. I'm not hanging up on anybody. All right, so coming up at 8 o'clock, Scott Zolak has a book out. Rich is dead. Zolak reads some excerpts from the book. We'll have that for you at 8. Here are the headlines.
617-779-0985. What do you think this name is calling from Vegas there? Zo, you see that? How would you say that? N-O-J.
Nodge. Another Nodger.
Or No-J.
RJ?
I don't know.
I think it's RJ.
I don't know. Who is this in Vegas?
It's Naj. Naj.
Naj, what's up?
Not much. Rough game yesterday. I just wanted to talk to you guys about how much Mike Sarge Riley sucks in the radio.
Oh, God.
It's one.
All right, good. We got it out.
Doesn't take much to get by the intern. Just spell your name backwards. Get right by him.
Oh, it's John backwards. Yes. Good job, kid.
Scott is in Maine. What's up, Scott?
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich real quick. Devin, go ahead.
Hey, Rich. I'm just calling because I heard you talking about, you know, edibles and you never wanted to smoke before. And I was the same way. I never wanted to smoke, but for some weird reason, I was okay trying edibles. So last year, for the first time in New York, I made it myself, and the girl that I was dating in New York, she, you know, had lived in Colorado for 6 years. So we did it. We tried, you know, one of the brownies, didn't really feel anything. So we ate another one, didn't feel anything. After we finished the third one, we felt the first one. Mm. And just speaking from experience, I had never tried it before. I couldn't move my legs. And honestly, Rich, I think the thing that was most concerning for me is when I listened to the radio, I actually thought that Sarge had talent.
Yeah. I had the finger on the trigger ready to go.
I did not see that coming. All right. I don't know. Tell me if you know this, but do you know what actress, she's a famous actress, has demanded to go topless in her next film?
Oh, Emma Stone.
Well, I didn't want you to say it. That's.
Okay.
It's wildly disappointing. I have no desire to see Emma Stone naked.
You don't find her attractive?
I mean, she has a nice face. I don't really. It seems very underwhelming that she would take her top off.
She said there was like a scene that was like a love scene, and she thought it was ridiculous because there was like a sheet covering her up, and she goes, "This isn't real. You know, I just want to do it all natural." And then, of course, they were like, "Are you sure you want to do this?" She said, "Yeah. I mean, let's make the scene realistic."
Yeah, I'm not positive you can be able to tell that she's topless, regardless of if it's a close-up. But Emma Stone, that's one of the few things, one of the women out there in the world that I have absolutely no desire to see topless. I'd rather see Oprah topless, to be honest with you.
I think you can. Hasn't she? That's a question. Wasn't
in the
there,
color like, purple, perhaps?
Maybe that was it. Maybe. In the pantheon of just kind of weird that didn't quite expect that to happen, Kathy Bates in About Schmidt type situations.
You know what was wildly disappointing nude was Sarah Silverman. Have you ever seen her?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In that scene in the shower?
She was in some movie that was with Michelle Williams that I saw, and it was weird.
Yeah, she's, well, if you go to Mr. Skin, I mean, yeah. She's all played out for you.
Yeah.
But and then also something that's very disturbing that's coming up is Tim Burton is doing a live action Dumbo.
Yeah, I've seen the trailer for that. Live action seems to be the way to go after the success of like Beauty and the Beast, and there's another one that they did. They're making a live action Aladdin as well.
The Dumbo though seems, and then based on the trailer, exceptionally disturbing.
Well, you could completely swing or miss when you're Tim Burton. Like Tim Burton in his early days was like unbelievable. I mean, he did, first of all, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which legitimately is a movie that I love. But then it was like Edward Scissorhands. He did that Batman movie with Michael Keaton that at the time was really good. He did Beetlejuice, which was a good movie. And then he just started completely striking out. Like he did that Willy Wonka remake that was that was atrocious. And since then, he's made like Dark Shadows with Johnny Depp. I mean, what was that? And there was a bunch of other all those Alice in Wonderland movies, which have been, I think he only made the first one. But yeah, he's massive. Oh, he did Planet of the Apes with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh,
speaking of the Wall Man, he's full of crap because last night my wife was at Boston Common and she saw the Wall Man walking around and people wanted to take pictures of him. And it was well past his 7 p.m. bedtime.
Oh, yeah.
He's supposed to be rising and grinding. No, he wasn't filming. He was taking pictures with people who were coming up to him.
But he was being nice.
He was being extremely nice. He was being very nice and courteous. And anyone who wanted to come and take a picture, they took a picture. But as far as his little daily schedule he's got with his workout routine, the man is full of crap.
What time in the evening was it?
Just after 7 o'clock. And he's supposed to be in bed by 7.
Might have been on his way back to his hotel room. You don't know.
I don't know about that.
Might have been on his way back.
Full of crap.
Had the bedtime schedule for 7:15. Was a little late. Dinner ran a little long. Had meetings. And then he stopped to take pictures. And what do you know? Went to bed at 8 o'clock.
Our Instagram, the Toucher and Rich official Instagram, only follows three different accounts. It follows Fred, follows 98.5 Sports Hub, and Mark Wahlberg, because I need to know that he's waking up every morning at 2:30, rising and grinding, and aspiring to be better. And I don't see a video from this morning. I don't see one.
I heard on
full
this-
of crap. You did not wake up this morning at 2:30, and you certainly were not in bed by 7, mister.
Okay, I'll tell you this. Speaking of getting up early, there are these, first of all, there's this guy I heard about in this interview that has an automatic tweet that goes out at 6:05 where it says, like, I'm a lazy piece of crap. I'm not out of bed yet. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be his motivation for getting out of bed, as if everyone on Twitter is going to be like, whoa, this guy's a piece of crap. But there's
so he doesn't stop it from going out?
Yes.
Okay, and wake up. Oh, well, yeah, hey.
I mean, that's really putting it all on the table. And there are these websites that, like, if you don't go to the gym, like, a certain amount of days in a row, it takes your money. Like, the whole, there's two services that I know of that they just take your money and put it into a charity that you hate. So you're basically, and I'm sure they take a percentage or what would be the point.
Well, that's kind of funny. That's like, because it was just to take your money. I'm like, well, I want to be part of that job. But if it's like giving it to a charity that you hate, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny, but why am I paying a company just to take my money?
Well, if that's what inspires them to get up because they think they're going to lose money from their bank account, then I guess that might work. I guess that's motivation enough.
That seems absolutely ridiculous to me.
Oh, it seems stupid, but if that works, then...
But just that you would... I have a company, a venture capitalist. Please, come here. My company is that people give us money, and then if they don't go to the gym, we take it away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, listen, here's $1 billion. I mean, what could go... So many people are going to use this. So many people just need that motivation. So many people have so much money. All they want is it taken away.
Now, Wahlberg's been in town for a little bit now, and I believe, Fred, that the last thing that he's posted on his gram is a picture of him with your favorite guy, James Corden.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. James Corden, I viscerally hate. Now, you say, Fred, you hate everyone, but here's the deal. If I met Mark Wahlberg, I'm sure I would think he was a nice guy. In fact, I don't even care about Mark Wahlberg. But Guy Fieri, we make fun of a lot. I know if I met Guy Fieri...
He'd be a great guy.
...that he would be a great guy. Okay? He's, like, super corny, but I know if I met him, he'd be a great guy. James Corden, the looks of him, I viscerally hate. I hate everything about him. I hate that he's from the musical theater. I hate that he puts on stupid costumes. I hate that he does that stupid carpool karaoke. I hate that he's always around, like farting. Like, you know, everywhere he goes, he's just farting, like just like a big dumb animal. James Corden. Oh, and you know what he did at the gym is there's no way he wasn't filming something where he was like, oh, what is that?
If only I can work out like you do.
Yeah, like he pulls like down like the, you know, like the cable row,
uh-huh.
And then like goes, whoa, and then like flies up to the cable. Like, oh, I'm so fat and stupid.
Well, I mean, it does say Corden is part of is the newest member of the 4 a.m. club. Hashtag 4 a.m. club.
And he's like, 4 a.m., I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm sleeping. This is 4 a.m. club.
But to that I say is that if he's been in town, maybe this is a picture from, maybe James Corden is here locally.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully he's down great. There really adding some grittiness to the Spencer for Hire. They've first of all, miscast wildly, as you will know, John. Mark Wahlberg is the character Spencer,
yeah.
Who was supposed to be a big old Xbox. Yeah.
No, he's
face.
An ex-fighter who's a large individual, like 6'2", 195
whose
pounds.
Whose face has been beaten apart.
Yes, yes.
So
his
that,
nose
so,
has been broken well, repeatedly.
So Robert Urich didn't look like that.
He was a handsome man. No, everything minus the nose. I mean, clearly
touché.
You didn't watch enough of this.
Touche.
Yeah.
But first of all, Wahlberg's doing that, where he shouldn't be doing that. And then second of all, good. I hope James Corden has a shoot out in Dorchester or in Roxbury at 1 in the morning. And he walks around like in a bee costume going, I'm a bee!
Oh, hang on.
Where he prepared to be, and he pretended to go into Los Angeles streets and put on a stupid play.
From what I've heard, someone just tweeted me and said, I didn't see it last night, but I heard that James Corden yesterday evening tried to keep up with Mark Wahlberg's workout routine.
Yes.
I mean, you nailed it.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God.
He's the biggest, stupidest hack. I cannot stand him. Yes, I can tell you what the bit is.
Like, he'll pick up. It's like the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Well, this is way too early. What are you doing?
He'll be like, yeah, and he'll come in then. Oh! He'll come in, like, with, like, old school, like, pajama, like, dress.
Sure.
And, like, a sleeping cap.
Chuck Taylor's.
If I can find this, should we play James Corden, Mark Wahlberg bingo?
All right. He's either wearing, like, ball hugger shorts.
No, he is. He's wearing shorts that are way too small. You have pale upper thighs showing.
Or,
he's wearing Chuck Taylor's with no socks.
Oh, we got it. Okay.
Or he's wearing a nightshirt and like a stocking cap and going like, it's too early.
Okay, so I want you to write down five things that you predict are going to happen when James Corden tries to work out with Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
All right? And then at what time do we have open? Do we have like 9 or what?
Sure, whatever.
Okay, at whatever, later on in the show. We will play that, and we will play Fred Toucher, James Corden, bingo.
Okay. I'll do it right now. He's going to show up in pajamas. He's going to have a situation with weights where he, like...
The weight pulls him instead of the other way around.
He's going to, something with a treadmill where he Fs that all up. He's going to...
No, it's running in the street. It's jogging in the street
where he gets all tired out and puts his hands on his knees.
He's
not going to jog on the street. It's not his super physical comedy. Like running on a treadmill.
Pushing the sled. He'll try to push the sled.
Falls down and the treadmill throws him off type of thing?
I don't know if he is capable of doing that to himself.
Hitting the sled?
Yeah, without... And listen, I takes one to know one. Without his man boobs getting caught in the... In the treadmill.
He could flip the tire. I guarantee you at one point he gets Mark Wahlberg to perform a little of this. I guarantee it. This song in some way, shape, or form makes an appearance.
Excellent point.
That's the only thing I'm 1,000% sure that happens.
He's going to show up in pajamas. I'm almost positive about that.
Do you think at some point he'll fall asleep during the workout?
It's another good one.
Mm.
Yep.
Okay, let's write all these down. And then later on in the show, we will get to it. We will play James Corden works out with Mark Wahlberg bingo.
He put on a play, a musical, with a lack of any self-awareness or irony. He did a musical, quote-unquote, in the streets of Los Angeles where people were beeping. And you know what? You're on a major network, you stupid dope. Like, what do you think? Everyone's an idiot? Like we're stopping traffic. This isn't a YouTube video, stupid. You've gotten permission from everyone, the city. You've got cops all around. You dope. God, I hate him. I hate him more than any other popular culture person. I'm not sure I hate another popular culture person. James Corden, I hate. James Corden, if I meet him, I tell him to go screw. James Corden, first thing out of my mouth is, I hate you. You don't deserve anything you have in your life. Well, you're just jealous. No. No. Me's no wants to be you. All right. Listen, Scott Zolak's got a book out. He's done an audio version. And we're going to play a game, What's Real and What's Not. That's coming up.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.